Chapter 54. The soldier had been careful to stay out of the area since the night of the shooting. It was just as well, because he still couldn't wrap his head around what he had been told to do and what he had done. That was the thing about being a good soldier. You follow your orders, even the stupid ones or the ones you know you'll have to answer for on Judgment Day. It's the price you pay afterward, once things settle in, that cost you. It's the time you spend asking yourself the questions about what can't be undone. The hauntings when you close your eyes, or when you open them and there is only darkness. He had seen a lot of darkness in his time, and now he used it as cover to approach the place the colonel was staying at. There weren't any cops around. He checked the perimeter, but he wasn't so much worried about the law as he was about one of the colonel's people. A lot of them, like a lot of the people he'd served with, were good people and true believers. But true belief didn't make you smart or capable. And the last thing he needed was for one of these people to give him away. As far as he knew, only the colonel was aware of his presence and what he'd done. The rest of them believed exactly what they were led to believe, that John W. had been shot down in cold blood. For a lot of reasons, he wanted it to stay that way, especially that last part. If he had his way, he'd take what he'd done to the grave with him. And on the night of the shooting, he was tempted to get to the grave sooner rather than later. There were times he had felt that way in Iraq and Afghanistan, too. But it had never been as powerful a calling as it was on that night. The wound of it was still fresh enough that he could swear parts of him were missing. As he'd been instructed to do, he went around to the back of the house. But before he approached, he scanned the area one final time. He stepped out of the woods and walked the 50 paces up to the rear deck. The back door was open. He stepped in and eased the door closed, stepped into the first bedroom on his right. Leon Vanderkamp stood up out of his chair, came to the soldier and threw his arms around him. He held the embrace for a good long time.
"Well done, son. Well done."
But the soldier was preoccupied by the man splayed out on the bed, snoring.
"Don't worry about him," said the colonel. "James Earl is passed out as always. He is a never-ending source of disappointment to me, but he is my flesh and blood."
"No offense, sir, but John W. was your flesh and blood, too."
"What is the value of a crusade if you're not willing to make great sacrifices to achieve the righteous ends? You, of all men, should understand that. How many mothers' sons did you witness being slaughtered by those heathen mongrels? If I had sacrificed James Earl, who would have cared? I'm not sure even his mother would have blinked. He was always a disappointment to her as well."
"How is John W.'s mother taking it?"
"How would you expect? She'll be arriving here tomorrow."
"Does she know that—"
"What she knows or doesn't know isn't your concern, son. The cause, our cause, is what matters here. Just know that I am pleased with how you handle yourself. I could not be prouder of how you have conducted yourself under terrible duress."
Leon Vanderkamp placed his hand on the soldier's shoulder, but stared down at James Earl.
"Why does God burden us so?"
"I don't know, sir." Vanderkamp's face hardened, and he took his hand off the soldier.
"I wasn't really asking you for the answer. You're good and you're loyal. But metaphysics has never been your strong suit."
"No, sir."
"I'm sorry, son. That was uncalled for."
The soldier moved on.
"Why am I here, sir?"
"Did you take care of that other business?"
"The landscaper?" "Yes, sir."
"Will they find his body?"
The soldier shook his head.
"Good. There may be one or two others who'll have to go."
"One or two?" the soldier asked.
Vanderkamp lowered his voice to a whisper.
"Keep an eye on the people who own this house. You know where their business is located?"
"I do."
"That's right. Of course you do.
Vandekamp said. Have they given you any trouble, sir?
Loose ends. They're loose ends.
Sir, I know it's not my place to question your orders, but... Vandekamp slapped the soldier across the face so hard James Earl stirred from the sound of it.
You'll do as I tell you. The one time you disobeyed me nearly destroyed us. But you did what you did, and now you have certain skills. Now, you'll use them when I tell you to.
Yes, sir.
Have you built the explosive device?
Sir, I have not.
What are you waiting for? I sincerely hope you're not going to disobey me.
No, sir, the soldier lied. He had seen the carnage that IEDs and suicide bombs could do to the human body, and had hoped the colonel would reconsider. Apparently, his hopes had been in vain.
Okay, then. You have your orders. If they have any contact with the law, I want to know about it immediately. And son?
Yes, sir.
Build it.
The soldier saluted, turned on his heel, and left. James Earl, still groggy, said,
Was that? Go back to sleep, James Earl. He's none of your concern. And I'm really not in the mood for you. Not tonight.